Morning, and good morning on this particularly unpleasant day. So it's great to see you guys today. And it's a good word that Rob started this morning with, this whole thing about being a Martha or a Mary. And I feel a bit like a Martha. And we've got a very young child who's 3 months old, and we've got a three-year-old boy, and we've got all these kind of things going on, and you're juggling this, there, and everywhere. And you kind of come and think, my gosh, you know, you get so busy that you kind of forget the importance of spending time to wait on the Lord. And so this morning it's quite apt, even though Rob wouldn't have had any idea what I was going to speak about this morning because of him being away, is I want to look at the whole thing firstly of where we are as a church. And secondly, I want to look at the whole thing of about worship. I want to look at about God's presence in the church and God's presence within the community. And I also want to talk about briefly about this thing about fasting and about pressing in to the things of God. And so I'm going to pray and then I'm going to shoot. So Lord Jesus, we just want to pray now that you would just anoint this word, that you give me clarity, Lord, that you'd waken up any tiredness, Lord. And this word will be life-giving to us as a church. And that you'd bring us into the place of living water, Lord, into that place of peace, into that wonderful relationship, Lord, that you have given to us through your Son. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So what I'm going to do to start with this morning is just to highlight just some of the things we mentioned in the AGM. It's not to do with an AGM report as such, but really where we are as a church. And I think it's important for us to hear where we are so that we can understand what we're praying into. And so I want to take a few minutes to do just that and to look ahead through the summer and into the new season at Core. And as you all know, and it's not a surprise to any of us now, is that Rob and Dillis will be leaving us in August, and they'll be heading towards Rathmines Harold's Cross to set up a new church initiative out of that church. And we want to recognise the fantastic work that Rob and Dillis have done at CORE over the years, and we want to send them out, as we said before, the AGM, and as I say every time I stand here, we want to send them out with all our blessing, and we want to send them out with every good thing that they have here, and we want to really bless them. But we also want to recognise, as a church, the sense of loss and the pain that it is for us as a church as we transition towards a new season and towards a new era. And I know myself, this is a painful journey, having to say goodbye to a colleague and friend, but also having to face the challenge that Rob's departure brings. And change is difficult, change is hard, and change is a necessary part of life. It reminds us where we need to put our hope, and it gives new people new opportunities to step up and to grow and be part of what God is doing at CORE. See, if a caterpillar remains in a cocoon, we will never benefit from the beautiful butterfly that has matured out of the process of change. And so with the change comes the opportunity. Joel says this to people who want to petition God for change in the nation. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. And so on Sunday the 16th of May through to the 23rd, we're taking time as a church community to pray and to fast, to seek God, to take time to listen to him, to bring our fears, our anxieties, our hopes and dreams, and to enter into God's space. We want to offer to God the future of CORE and for the Lord to lead and guide us as we enter into a new season. And the three words that God has spoken to me and reminded me, as God spoke to me before I came here, were these three words. One is worship. Secondly is God's presence in the church. And thirdly is God's presence outside of the church. And in a minute, I'm going to look at this whole thing, this vision of worship and God releasing the living water into the church. But firstly, I want to remind us about God's presence. In Psalm 139, it says this, "Where can I go from your spirit?" And it's a reminder to us that God is everywhere. God is so close to each one of us here this morning. If I go up into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So firstly, a reminder to us this morning is God's presence is everywhere. And an act that reminds us this, it says, in God we exist, for in him we live and move and have our being. And so there are times and seasons where God's people set time aside to seek and to pursue God. God is everywhere. God is, we are in him, we live and move and have our being with him. But it's time for us to set aside time to push in to his presence. As Rob said earlier, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, asks and receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus reminded us, but first seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus answered the woman at the well, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And again, Jesus says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up until that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. And finally, along these lines, and I think it's an incredible scripture that's really hit me over this weekend, was this. I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. And in these last words about the living water, the woman at the well recognized that Jesus said to her, if only you knew who was standing before you. The spring of living water. Jesus stands up at the end of the feast and says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. And then he says that streams of living water will flow from within him. And this is what he's speaking about, the Holy Spirit. And then we're transported back to Ezekiel, who gives a vision to the people in exile of a vision of worship. The nation had been in exile, their center in Jerusalem had been razed to the ground, their security and the place where they'd worshipped was no longer there. But in the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of being in the desert, Jesus, God, provided a vision of what he was going to do through worship. And out of the sanctuary, the place of worship, came a drop of water. It came out of the back of the temple. And as the water poured out of the temple, drop by drop, it began to create a momentum. It started off ankle deep, then knee deep, then waist deep, and then deep enough to swim in. And then it became an unstoppable force. And wherever the water went, there is life. Wherever the water flowed, there was transformation. Salt water was transformed by the fresh water. Rivers was teeming with life. Trees full of fruit lining the river. And it's a picture of the Spirit of the Lord being released upon the church out of worship. For the presence of the Lord is to be seen in the church and outside of the church. And as Rob mentioned last Sunday evening, we had an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this church. It was one of those unexpected evenings. We came and gathered, there wasn't that many of us, and it came out of the worship. We began to start worshipping, and the Spirit began to move. And as the God began to move, it was evident that it was completely inappropriate for any of us to speak. So we spent an hour and a half in God's presence, and we began to have wave upon wave of God's presence and his love. And the worship team, had two of the girls right up the front there, they're kneeling before the Lord, weeping and weeping. They're shaking in the presence of God. There's people who had never really experienced the presence of God. There's one person there who I said, would it be okay to pray for you? He went, okay then. And I said, well, Lord, just bring the freedom And suddenly, they're released into the freedom of God. And so we're all reminded of the power of God that is available to us as a church. We're reminded out of that Sunday, the power of God's presence, his river that he wants to release in the church through worship. And so on a week of fasting, what we want to do is to press in to the rivers of God. We want to press in to the living water. And who's the source of living water? It's Jesus himself. So in a week of fasting, we're praying to God to release in us fresh living water for the church, to release God's presence into the heart of the church. We're praying to God to release to us the fresh living water in the church so we can release God's presence in the heart of the community. Because wherever the water is, wherever the Spirit is, there is life. And wherever the water flows, wherever the Spirit is, there's transformation. The untransformable becomes transformed. Salt water is transformed by fresh water. It's always the other way around. But not in the kingdom of God, it's upside down. And God's presence in us enables us to be God present, or to be God's presence in the community. This presence in us, through us, and upon us enables us to be God's salt and light in the dark, dark world. And last Tuesday, we're reviewing what's happening in the church, and I'm not going to run through that now. But it's amazing what God has been doing in the church, both in the church, through the presence of God, and outside the church, through the presence of God. And so we're looking ahead over the summer and towards September to see how can we work with the Lord in releasing his presence, his springs of living water in the church. We're also looking over this period of time to see how we can release God's presence not only in the church but within the community into the weary places outside this land where they need a fresh touch or even to know there is living water. And so over this next term, we're looking to encourage and build up God's people. We want to bring in speakers who can encourage us and stir up God's gifts in the church through the worship, through the prophetic, through prayer and through prayer ministry to release God's living water into the heart of the church. And so what I'm saying by that is we want to bring some encouragement to us, to remind us of who we have in Christ, to be able to people who can just encourage us in just doing that. Secondly, we want to develop the social center of core with events, not just events, but places we can come along to and bring people to so we can get to know each other and build a social hub where people feel they belong. And this term, as we've already said, we want places like the curry night, we're having another music night, and the picnic in the park, places where we can get to know each other, places where we can be knitted into the church. From September, I'm looking to have an evening once a month in the evening called Equipping the Saints. And I'm beginning to line up some people who can train and envision us in the ministry of Jesus through worship, through evangelism, through prayer, and through healing. And then early next year, we're looking together as a church to go away together, to spend time to get to know each other and let the Lord encourage us, build us up, and to release his living water in us. So that's about God's presence within the church. And then we're looking for God's presence in the community to bring streams of living water. For what God has given us is not just for us, it's for everybody. And what we have been given, God wants us to give away. And so we're looking next term to build bridges into the community, partnering with Alpha Ireland as we look to run Alpha courses in Core and hopefully in the Clock Pub. We're looking for the Lord to bring new people into his kingdom and new people into the church, so that those on the outside looking in become those on the inside reaching out. And so we want to take time in a couple of weeks' time, as we want to be building these times over the year, is to take time to release the living water upon his church. And so the vision for fasting is that. We want to take time to fast and pray, to set apart time to seek, to fast, to pray, and to push in for the next season. And so I just want to share a couple of things about what fasting is. And then we're going to look at what that week's going to look like. And then we're going to have a time just to pray. And so I'm just going to remind people of this book, which I've had here. It's a great book because it's an easy book to read. And it's called fasting, and that's quite helpful because we're going to go into a thing on fasting. And we've bought a number of books. Most of them, we've got a good many of them already gone. We're selling them for 10 euros, which is a lot cheaper than we've actually, they could be sold for. And what it does, it just gives a really an insight into why we fast, how to go about fasting, what the biblical precedents for it, the benefit of fasting, etc., etc. And it's something that I was given as a gift, and as I read it, it was just really reminding me of just a discipline that I have done in my life, but I've forgotten about. And it's really, really powerful as we take time to enter into God's space, into the depths of God. So I want to really recommend that, you know, just to take that away with you, just to read it and to just to see what God has to say about fasting. And then in this book, there's just a few things it says, just as an opener, about why we fast and what fasting is not. So, do you want to read that from me? Okay, shall I give you an, so if you want to read it through from there to there. I'll get your microphone. Just see, she's much better at reading than I am.
I'm sorry, I'm not being rude, I'm feeding at the same time. Apologies.
So you're fasting, feeding in on the
fasting for your breakthrough. What is fasting? Since there are so many misconceptions about it, I first want to clarify what fasting, biblical fasting, is not. Fasting is not merely going without food for a period of time. That is dieting, maybe even starving, but fasting it is not. Nor is fasting something done only by fanatics. I really want to drive that point home. Fasting is not to be done only by religious monks alone in a cave somewhere. The practice of fasting is not limited to ministers or to special occasions. Stated simply, biblical fasting is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. Fasting has always been a normal part of a relationship with God, as expressed by the impassioned plea of David in Psalm 42. Fasting brings one into a deeper, more intimate and powerful relationship with the Lord. When you eliminate food from your diet for a number of days, your spirit becomes uncluttered by the things of this world and amazingly sensitive to the things of God. As David stated, deep calls unto deep. David was fasting. His hunger and thirst for God were greater than his natural desire for food. As a result, he reached a place where he could cry out from the depths of his spirit to the depths of God, even in the midst of his trial. Once you've experienced even a glimpse of that kind of intimacy with our God, our Father, the holy creator of the universe, and the countless rewards and blessings that follow, your whole perspective will change. You will soon realize that fasting is a secret source of power that is overlooked by many.
Yeah, thank you. That's brilliant. Excellent. Thanks, Catherine. Brilliant. And what we're going to do over the next period of time will be just to sort of, on the 16th, just to sort of talk about the different sorts of fasting. Because obviously, for some people, a few days of fasting without food is impractical. My wife feeding a baby, for instance. And there's different ways of fasting. Might be going without this and that. But I think we want to, you know, just... And also, we want to challenge people who maybe haven't fasted before, because there's just great power in it. And Catherine and I, when we first arrived here, the Lord said for us he wants us to buy a house, which we thought was absolutely ridiculous, because we entered this country when the housing market was kind of going like this, and it's going towards the you know, to the height of the markets, and we just thought there's no way we could do this. And we had some money for a deposit and a few other bits, but we didn't have a huge amount of money. And the Lord kept saying to us, I want you to fast and pray and to seek me for this, because I'm going to release to you a house. And we kind of believed him, but kind of thought as the days and weeks went on, it kind of became more and more unrealistic to us, we thought. So anyway, we start the process every Wednesday of fasting and praying. So we used to just meet up, have lunch together. We didn't have lunch together. We fasted together and we prayed together. And we just said, Lord, you know, please, you know, this is what you said to us. Will you just, you know, will lead us and guide us in that? So we started fasting, praying. And at the same time, we started looking for properties and houses. So we used to look through the papers on the internet and say, oh, that'd be a nice house. Da-da. So we go along to the showing and all that sort of stuff, and we go along, get really excited about this house, put a bid in it, and then it went over 150,000 more than we could afford. And it's just this whole ridiculous environment. We just thought, there's just no way we're going to get a house. And we just thought, this is ridiculous. So anyway, kept fasting and praying, and getting more and more disappointed, more and more excited about places, more and all that kind of stuff. So we kept on going. And about 9 months later, I got a phone call, and someone said to me, this house has just come on the market. It has been on the market twice, and people have put in an offer for it twice and pulled out. And so, you know, they're quite anxious to sell this place. And they said, would you be happy to do a building project? And at the time, thinking, well, actually, that would be quite a big thing to do at this time. Anyway, so we thought nothing of it at the time, so we just sort of went away and thought about it. And so we found out about what this property looked like. We went to see it, and then we just felt that we should put an offer on it. So we kind of thought we'll just put in an offer that we could afford. And so we put an offer in, thinking they'd laugh us out of town. And they came back to us and said, no, we accept the offer. And so we were able to get ourselves in the housing market. And it was a time, and the picture the Lord showed me was out of Joshua 3. It said, when the river is at its deepest, I'm going to provide a way through. And through that, God has shown us time and time again his provision, his supernatural provision for us on a property that we could never, ever dream of having. The way God provided a building team, the way we were able to do it for a certain price, the way all these things that we could never have done, God released to us as we began to fast and pray and seek him for the promises he made to us. And so the reason why I want to call the church to fast is because fasting is really powerful. It gets us back into the depths of God. It reminds us of who God is. It reprioritizes our genders, our diaries, our church, our lives. And when we fast for things like breakthrough, for doors to open. Sometimes the doors just never seem to open, but when you take the time to fast and pray, suddenly, bang, God opens them. He tears strongholds down. He heightens the spiritual climate. He raises an environment where faith, suddenly we believe God can do things. And I really want God to release that heightened environment in this church, that we're not feeling down, but we're lifted by what God can do. Jesus fasted before his ministry to prepare for himself the ministry of Jesus. And so fasting often precedes the releasing of God's ministry. Fasting enhances us spiritually. Jesus said this comes out by prayer and fasting. In other words, you know, unless you fast and pray, as Jesus obviously had an everyday life of prayer and fasting, he said, this is how you do it, guys. Fasting and prayer is what removes these spiritual blockages. Fasting enables us to enter into the depths of God. Deep calls unto deep. And through prayer and fasting, God enables the impossible to be made possible. So does that encourage any of us here today to fast? To encourage us. And I think the biggest thing about this is we don't want to put a burden on people. We don't want to be like, you have to do this. What we want to do is provide an environment and some guidance in the different sorts of fasts, and then leave it with you and God to do just that, because it's really important that people are able to make their own decisions on it. And then what we want to do is we've got here, it's just a very simple outline of the week, and we've divided it into 7 days, starting on the 16th of May, and that's kind of the introduction. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we're going to have an hour and a half in the church with some worship and different themes on fasting and different things to pray for as a church, so that we can really cover the whole area of the church. And then Thursday and Friday, we're leaving it, and Saturday, we're leaving it to your own personal devotions. And then on Sunday, the 23rd of May, we're going to have a time of celebration and a time of testimonies of what the Lord has said and what the Lord has done. We divided the week into kind of the Lord's Prayer. So that's kind of 7 days with 7 parts of the Lord's Prayer. So the first day is, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. So we'll be praying for worship, music, prayer, prophecy, the giving and volunteering in core. On Tuesday, say your kingdom come. So praying for welcome, the Alpha course, Collide, church administration, membership. On the Wednesday, we're praying your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying for things like kids club and solace and the prison ministry and the Liberty Saints, the bingo, grandmas, money, music and impact. On Thursday, give us today our daily bread. We're praying for the things in the church that sustain us, the small groups, the kids club, the prayer ministry, the pastoral care, the mums to mums and the mums and tots. And then we go, forgive us our debts as we also forgive others. Lead us from temptation, deliver us from evil. And for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And that's going to be a time of celebration. And then on the back of it, we've got top tips on fasting. And so we've got how to prepare for a fast, what to do during the fast, and how to finish the fast. And we'll run those through, but they're kind of things like, what are you going to do? In other words, what kind of fast are you going to do? Prepare yourself spiritually, prepare yourself physically, prepare yourself mentally, and decide who you're going to talk to about your fast. And then how to fast and what to do during the fast. And the whole idea of worship, feasting on God's word, get alone with God, and what to expect when you fast, and putting together maybe a journal and all that kind of stuff. And at the end of the fast, we've got things like end your fast gradually, slowly reintroduce food with soup, small meals, etc. Don't suddenly have a full English, full Irish breakfast, or do apologise, how rude of me, or a sort of a three-course meal. I'm sure the fasting will sort me out on that one. But anyway, it's just as practical as possible so that we can really enjoy this time and really press into God. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity just to take time to do just that, isn't it? And I think we need to do that. And I think it's going to be exciting to hear of the stories of what God does, because I know when I've taken the time to seek God, the time I've fasted, we've seen incredible breakthroughs in my life, family life, and people I know. So that's what we're going to do. So let's just take a moment just to lift that week to the Lord. And then I thought it would be good just at the end, just to have an opportunity just to invite the Holy Spirit to come, to bring his living water upon us. Like there'll be a season of refreshing, and that's what we're praying for as a church. And I need it, we need it, we all need it. And so let's just take a moment now just to offer that week to the Lord now. So Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much for the reminder that you are the source of the living water. We thank you, Lord, that you revealed yourself to the woman at the well. Thank you, Lord, that you stood up after the feast and declared to the people, come all who are thirsty, come to the living water. And Lord, you say, if only you knew. And I just want to pray, Lord, that we will know. I pray, Lord, as we take time to fast and pray, we will know that you are the source of living water. And Lord, we just thank you for that wonderful picture in Ezekiel of your presence coming out of worship. And wherever the water is, wherever the Spirit is, there's life. And we thank you, Lord, your presence is for us as a people to be built up, to be encouraged. But your presence is also for those outside the church who desperately need to know there's living water and there's a Jesus there, a Savior who loves them and has got a wonderful future for them. And so we lift this week together, Lord. We just pray that you would really help us to come together as a community to seek, to fast, to pray, and to push in so that deep calls unto deep in the roar of your waterfall. That we would be filled up, that we would be sustained. And Lord, that we would be able to put Martha aside and to walk as Mary did at your feet and enjoy your presence and your company. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So let's just stand, and I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come as a refreshment to us this morning. And I pray for that prayer as much for myself and my wife as for everybody here, that we do need to be reminded of God's living water. We do need to know that God is with us. We do need to know that God leads us through seasons. We need to know that we have to be able to let go. And we also need to know that God is there with us. And so, Lord Jesus, we just welcome your living water upon this church. We welcome, Lord, your spirit of refreshment upon your people. I pray, Lord, that you will just come now and just begin to rain your spirit upon us, to restore the weary, to restore those who've lost hope. To fill up the thirsty. So we welcome you now, Lord. Welcome your presence. And so wherever you are, just welcome the living water upon you now. Just welcome Jesus. Just say, Jesus, come. If only you knew who was that, who was asking you for a drink. streams of willing, living water would well up inside into eternal life. So Lord, fill us up now. Just let it come, Lord. Let it come, let it come. Just welcome that upon us. Welcome. So the Lord's moving. I can see him upon people. And for you, for maybe for people who have visited us today, just welcome the living water. Just remember Jesus is love. And God comes to us as love. God's Spirit comes as a complete representation of the Father as a love. And so know that it's God's love that's coming to you. It's God's love. Just welcome you. Just welcome his presence.